Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
In the final unfolding days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on those who are serving me, men and women, old and young, and they will declare the word of the Lord, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And everyone who receives their message will be saved. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Father, we agree together with this word that we're using as our launching path. Thank you again that, Lord, your word is truth. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we make ourselves available, Father. Thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I've got a prophetic word for you this morning. Let me get to it. We had a number of people out, and our site was down all week. I want to let you know that the enemy doesn't like Celebration's website. It's too bad, but we also know that when we're ticking them off, we're doing God's work, right? Right. So we had a number of people that were not here at the storm, and those listening online, they don't know that it's up yet. But let me share our things again, bring you up to speed here. As we said in 2016, over and over again, God needs you. So what we're saying in 2017, we move from God needs you to God using you. And my lines are off again this week, but you just fill in the blanks there. I can't move them around once we have them on my computer here. Moving from God needs you to God using you. The 2017, I shared this last week, but the year of breakthrough. How many people want to see breakthrough in their life? Well, most of you. Yes. Breakthrough. Breakthrough means when we come against a barrier and to get on the other side of it. Share some other things this morning with you. Our focus in 2017 is releasing the power of God through your life. That's one of the greatest experiences like happened with Lupe as she was sharing. When God uses you, there is no high like the Most High. That understanding that God has placed you in a position where you can reach out and touch someone for him. We're going to be talking about that, I think, most of the year. I said last week that in the Jewish language, numbers represent letters. And 20 represents redemption. When you put together the understanding of 2017, you break it down. 20 is two tens, and two tens represent redemption. Redemption is one of those sort of religious words that people feel good about it, but they don't understand it. You were redeemed by God from the place of the world and sin and all of the stuff that we were in. You were bought out. It means literally to bring out and to renew. We have been, so put that together with 2017. You've been, 20 represents, we're coming from something into something else. Redeemed. The word 17, or the number 17, listen to this. It means overcoming the enemy. It means complete victory. And it means, how about that? Breakthrough. This is the year of breakthrough. When you put the numbers together, you're talking about moving from a place where there was bondage and troubles and situations into a place where you are into a place of victory, overcoming the powers of the enemy and breakthrough. How many people are candidates for that? I think we ought to just camp in 2017 until God comes back. Turn to somebody and say, that could happen. I said last week, there's always a prophetic dynamic that happens at the beginning of the year. The Lord sets the stage for what he's going to do. That's why we are not on business as usual, folks. In fact, I've determined that we're not going to be a church that's going to be business as usual. Do you know you can have service and not even have God show up? Yeah? I've been to services where they don't need God to show up. Everything is all planned and ready to go. I have given the Lord and those that have been with me for a long time, he's got permission to do whatever he wants in the service. If he wants to interrupt it, he can do it. If he wants a prophetic word or whatever that might be, a miracle, anything he wants to do. And he promised me that I don't have to go to church if he's not going to show up. So he's here. I'm here. The Lord shares his vision or his understanding. And essentially, as I mentioned last week, we are in a prophetic time. And what I want to do is to make sure that we are in sync with the prophetic flow of what's going to happen, what God is doing in 2017. I want you to listen to this prophetic word, and I want you to hear it for yourself as well as us corporately. I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to receive this, test it in your spirit. This is the prophetic word that was given. It is a time for the breakthrough to victory. There will be a significant increase in miracles and signs and wonders. The anointing will be so strong that it will break significant and long-standing strongholds that have plagued people's lives. This is the word of the Lord, church. For the Lord says, my people are entering into an overcoming season that will produce great breakthroughs. For the enemy has come in like a flood, but I, the Lord, am releasing great victories. I will stem the tide of violence. I will bring peace to the land. I will bring an awakening. I will release revival. Many workings of miracles that are creative in nature will be seen in hundreds of churches around the world. The greatest harvest of souls the earth has known is upon us. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. How many people are stirred in your spirit? When I received this word, there was that sense of knowing God had been talking about revival. He had been talking last year, I've been sharing, about the whole understanding of the harvest and the releasing of the anointing. So when I received this word, there was a quickening in my spirit. And you will receive also, because we're going to teach you, coming up, I'll share with you, how to receive and how to prophesy. Paul says that he wants everyone to be able to prophesy. This is not some special thing that just the leadership does. Everyone is to be able to prophesy, to receive a word from the Lord. Now, this is a key word. This is something that's going to direct this whole year, but I wanted you to hear it yourself. This is the year, the Lord's saying, as if he was putting his finger right in your nose. Say, this is a year that victory is going to happen. This is a year of breakthrough. And I tested this word for almost a month before I shared it. And the Lord says, I want you to share it today. And I said, good, Lord. Because what it does, the prophetic word, God never speaks. He never does anything, I should say, without speaking to the prophets. That's that fivefold ministry. God is not silent today. The word of God is probably 90% of what we need to know and how to live. But there's a 10% a portion of the rest that makes it relevant for today. And God has never remained silent unless the people don't want to hear. That's why I prayed this morning. For those who have ears, that doesn't mean outward ears that mean a willingness to hear from your inner ear. The spirit man, for those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And this prophetic word should cause you to really rejoice, because God's word will not return void. And he could have said judgment. He could have said all kinds of things. He could have said a number of situations that, yes, that would be great. Thank you. There's a servant of the Lord. Everybody take a drink. You'll understand more about that when we get to that point. But there are a number of people that know what I'm talking about. Come into the river, taking a drink of the Holy Spirit. I want us to make sure that we recognize that you're here today, those listening online, this word is the word of the Lord. How many people bear witness with it? Amen. How many people want to see it happen? Amen. Let me tell you also, when a prophetic word is given, even by me, we're to test it in our spirits and resonate, because in the end times, there are going to be a lot of people that seem to talk like God, and it's not God. That's why we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Spirit coming up. We began with our focus of releasing the miraculous in 2017. I was very happy that was one of the words that the Lord gave. There's going to be miracle signs and wonders. And I've been talking about that at the end of the year. 2017 has presented us with dramatic change in the spiritual, drastic changes in the spiritual dynamic of this country. I had gone through this, the alignment of biblical principles. Did that come up on your screen? No, it didn't. It came up. I got a news for Fox News. They're just playing Fox News. Amen. It was giving me the amen. Did you see that? Did it come down? Did it? Yes. No, it didn't. Fox News just said something important to me about the president, the inauguration. God can use Fox News. Amen? Amen. Drop you a little. How many know he can't use CNN? I'm just kidding. We are in a place where the spiritual dynamic of this nation is about ready to be changed. I said the alignment with biblical principles, religious freedoms, the re-emphasis on our Constitution, alignment with Israel. 2017 has changed, is going to be a change in the spiritual atmosphere. And as I said, it's a doorway. That word, very important, a doorway has been opened for the church to reestablish the direction of this nation. We're the only ones that can change the nation spiritually. Let me just say, take that back. Because when you look at it at the broader thing, there is another. I'm going to say it this way. The church is the only one entity that can change the spiritual atmosphere to the good. How many know the spiritual atmosphere had been changed? Right? And we see all the different things that were going on. But a doorway has been opened to this. And you remember the prophetic word about that, what Kim Clement had said about Donald Trump. You pray for this president. He's getting all kind of kickback and all kind of garbage thrown at him. You know why? You think this is just a Republican and a Democratic? I told you before, we're not dealing with politics. We're dealing with the spiritual atmosphere of this nation. And as I said last week, it's all about the Spirit. When we try to perfect something in the flesh, it does not work. You can't defeat the powers of hell in the flesh. You can't change a spiritual atmosphere that is askew in the flesh. I don't care how many rules you make. And you can't change it by religion. Somebody say amen, or I'm going to get insecure again. The door is being opened for a move of the Holy Spirit. What I've been talking about all of last year of preparing is now going to be actualized in 2017. The Lord has directed that, has redirected the downward spiral of this nation. This is the prophetic word. God always speaks the prophetic word before he does it, so we can anticipate it and pray it in. The United States of America, again, where we have been laughed at, shunned, mocked, and all of that is going to be and play a major impact in this world again. And I think that as we look towards some of the statements that have come from President-elect and his cabinet, we're seeing just those things begin to take place. And we're going to see, I want America to be great again. Amen. I want America to again be under God, one nation under God, yes. Indivisible. We're not indivisible. We are fractured. And again, we're talking about the spiritual realm. I want you to start looking or continue to look at things from a spiritual perspective, because God will reveal to you things and understandings about how and what is going on so that we know how to deal with them. The doorway is the word that I use. In order to become from one position to another position, you have to walk through a doorway. And Paul said, pray for us that God may open a doorway for our message. And then, as I mentioned in Hosea, when you can take the whole thing, I will return her, America, the vineyards, which are the economic, spiritual fruitfulness to her, and transform her from the valley of trouble, the discouragement, the despair, the hopelessness, the job loss, and all of the stuff. You know, we're in a booming area here in the Bay Area. But you go 50 miles from here, you look at the other areas around, 100 miles from this place, they're absolutely desolate. They have no job situations are low. But I want you to know the prophetic word even comes through Hosea that he's going to raise this nation up again. I had mentioned to you, I grew up around the world. And it was a blessing to be able to live in other cultures, to live in other countries. And I guess by the time I was 13 years old, I'd been around the world 3 times. But it was wonderful to be able to see what we have in this nation when you go to other cultures and other nations. And I remember the people would look at us and say, oh, you're an American. Tell us about America. I really believe in my spirit that God is going to reestablish that. And the reason why, as I mentioned, the Christians are the most persecuted religion on the face of this earth. And the reason why, I said, is because we know the truth. We know the truth. But when we do not do the truth, if knowing the truth, which means to apply the truth, will set you free, not applying the truth will what? Keep you in bondage. So this doorway that the Lord is going to open, as we mentioned in Scripture, a doorway represents an opening, a portal, a gate, an exiting from the past, and an entering into a new era. Turn to somebody and say, he's not yelling at us, he's speaking prophetically. And somehow when you speak prophetically, my voice gets a little more direct. So know that a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. So it's with love in this. For 2017, we are entering into what I said was a prophetic doorway. Prophetic doorway is a time where the Lord releases special grace and favor to provide for breakthrough and breakout spiritually and physically. And I want you to understand, we're not just talking about the spiritual realm, which is the most important. We're also talking about the physical realm. That's why, and you'll see just a few moments, why the God establishes the spiritual realm so he can move into the physical realm. If there's no establishing of the spirit in the spiritual realm, it can't impact the physical realm. When God does a miracle, what happens is the spiritual platform is able to be released to touch earth, to touch flesh, to heal, to restore, to build up. And that has to go with, for finances and most importantly, as I said, ministry. Turn to someone and say, you're the minister. We looked at a number of places where this prophetic doorway took place, and just name a couple of them. Abraham, God established a prophetic doorway with Abraham to start the nation of Israel. When you look at Judges, the Judges in the Old Testament, the book of Judges is filled with prophetic doorways. Israel would turn away from God, start worshiping other gods. It would go into bondage. Then they would begin to cry out for God's help. Sometimes you only cry out for God's help when you're in a mess. Amen or oh me. But they begin to cry out. They recognize, they confess their sins of worshiping other gods. Then God would establish a prophetic doorway by bringing a judge, which means a leader, on the stage to lead them from their bondage into, again, the blessings of the Lord. Prophetic doorway. Jesus' birth was a prophetic doorway. The day of Pentecost in the church, when the church happened, when the baptism and the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, it opened a prophetic doorway. You understand what I'm saying about prophetic doorways? 2017 is a prophetic doorway, and the prophets around this, around the world, are saying, this, get ready, we're about to see some exciting things happen. Turn to somebody also and says, that includes God using you. How many people want to be used by God? How many people want to be used by God instead of watching what God's doing? How many people want to be there when it's happening as opposed to hearing what happened when God showed up? And certainly we had the prophetic doorway in at celebration when we experienced renewal. We are entering a season where God wants to raise up the church to release the kingdom of God, the miraculous, to advance his program, his kingdom through us. John 4:48 says, unless these people see miracles, signs, and wonders, Jesus told them, they will never believe. And that's the way it is. If Jesus walked on the scene, for those who have not heard what I've said before, Jesus did not walk on the scene doing being nice. He didn't walk on the scene start preaching the gospel. He got their attention. And what he did is he healed people. People began to recognize, my gracious. In fact, they even said that he's healing people by way of the devil. And I tell you, when you read God's word in the gospel, Jesus was absolutely, he was sharp as a tack. I mean, some of the things that the Sadducees and the Pharisees trying to trip him up on, he nailed them every time. Just shut their mouths. They walked around. Well, couldn't answer the question. Jesus said, they said, he's doing miracles by way of the devil. Remember what he said? Would the devil kick out himself? Yeah? If I'm doing it by way of the devil, what are you doing it by? They won't believe until they see a miracle. What has happened today in society is there's so much visual and audio overpower that nobody's impressed with anything anymore, right? I mean, you're blowing things up on these movies and nothing is real. You can never believe anything. But what has happened, it's just we're on overload by our sensory perceptions. It's just amazing. But one thing they can't deny that you can't virtually do is that when God begins to do the miracles and they see it for their very own eyes, One of our first miracles, I think I mentioned, that we had was a man who had AIDS. Remember that? He came and said, "Pastor, I have AIDS. Can I still come to the church?" And I said, "Get out of here. We don't want anybody with AIDS in this church." I said, "Certainly you can." He said, "I'm on disability, and I really would like for God to," and people were dying. This is back when people, you had AIDS, might as well just turn off the lights. And he said, I said, "Do you want God to heal you?" And he said, "Well, sure." But that wasn't convincing to me. I said, it didn't sound like you really believe that God can do that. He said something really sweet. "Help me to believe, Pastor." And I said, "We're going to believe." And I prayed for him. I let some people in the church know we're praying for this man who has AIDS. And 2 days later, he called me up and he said, "Pastor, guess what?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "I've been healed from AIDS." And I said to him, "Wonderful. But you go to your doctor, and I want to see a certificate before we announce it." Remember that? He brought the certificate. We showed it to the congregation. And he's totally free. He says, "I guess I'm going to have to go out and get a job now." But God, with God, all things are possible. I'm going to prove that to you today. And one of the ways that we're setting things up is allowing the Spirit of God to speak and to interrupt my messages and do whatever he wants to do. For those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. "See, I am doing a new thing," Isaiah 43:19. "Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it?" And I like this. "But who knows that you're here on this earth for such a time as this?" And I mentioned last week that there are things that only you can do. You are absolutely unique to the kingdom of God, and the revelation of God is unique to you. And you have a revelation of God that I don't have. You have a revelation of God that I need. When we all get together and we share that revelation of God that we know of, we get bigger. But there are divine appointments that God has set up for you to come into, when I said a divine appointment, that only you can impact because of the uniqueness of your relationship with God. And if you ever, well, you're going to understand it if I have to follow you home. We have to recognize, I'm here for a reason. I told you, you're not bringing widgets upstairs in heaven. Yeah. You're not bringing anything except what you did here on earth to touch people in Jesus' name. God needs you. 2017, God wants to use you. Acts chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this verse again, for those hearing it for the first time. "And the Lord confirmed their message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders." Another way of saying it is, God says, "You do it, I'll back you up." How many know we've got good news? You're acting like a Presbyterian church again today. You wait. You wait. Wait when the power of the Lord comes in and begins to manifest itself. One of the prophets said that we brought in, it's like walking up and sticking your fingers into a light socket and try to be calm. When the Holy Spirit comes, there will be turn to somebody, he's here now. But he's just turning up the heat. He's warm. We're on warm right now. How many people feel anticipation right? He's turning up the heat. He doesn't want to turn it up too quickly because it'll overwhelm us. Some people are ready to be overwhelmed, right? He will confirm what you're saying, what you're hearing, with a demonstration of his power. Our upcoming focus in 2017, I went over this last week, and I want you to hear what we are going to be doing this year. Extremely important in equipping you. As I mentioned, we want to know, for a graduate understanding, and some it will be new, how to hear God. How to hear God. How to make correct decisions. And I had mentioned over the years that one of the major questions that I hear over and over again through almost 40 years of ministry, Pastor, how do I hear God? Teach me how to hear God. What does he sound like? I can hear what, you know, you're saying that you hear God and with the prophetic words and counseling. And I tell them, I said, God is not he doesn't take some special kinds of people. In fact, you'll hear me say that my sheep hear my voice. How many sheep do we have here? One, two. I'm going to hit you with how many people are not going to raise their hand no matter what I say? How to hear God? We're going to need a special sensitivity because there's so much noise around, and there's also so much spiritual noise around. We have to hear God. And I've said it before, God wants to speak to you more than you want to hear. It's wonderful and secure to say, Lord, here I am. Tell me what you want me to do. And then he tells you. How would you like that to happen? Lord, what situation do I do? Do I do this or do I do that? Do that. Wow. And I declare this, that we seemingly are filled with choices that we have to make. How many people have to make choices? It's part of life, isn't it? How would you feel when I told you you have no choices to make? Well, I do have choices. What job, what house, what person, what this, what that. I've got to make choices. And I say that for the Spirit-filled Christian, we don't make choices. God makes choices. How many know that God is smarter than we are? Amen. I think we learned that, didn't we? Oh, yeah. And if you argue with God, you'll win. And lose. We don't make choices. Our position is not to choose. Our position is to find out what God says. You want to make your own choice? Fine. But because he's smarter than I, how would you, wouldn't a wonderful, we just, not, you come to my counseling meetings and into our ministry, I say, we don't make mistakes. Isn't that wonderful to know that you're not going to make a mistake in life? Sounds like that's foolish, Pastor. No, it's not. We don't have to make mistakes. Some people learn what not to do. Right? They go through their life finding out what not to do. God says, I don't want you to have to learn what not to do. I want you to learn what to do. And you know, as I said, we come to the place where we can say, God, I'm waiting to hear your voice in order to make the decision. And you've heard me say 1,000 times, when in doubt, don't step out. And I'll show you this, we're going to hear, even for you old people, old Christians, let's just put it that way. Sometimes the only way you can get, you have to be old, right? Isn't that right? Wish we could take a pill, don't you? Just take a pill and just become a mature Christian. Doesn't work that way. You learn. We learn by doing, right? Because of the time and the season, the Lord has already revealed to me some real tweaking on this understanding of hearing his voice. Also, understanding your personal spiritual gifts and how to use them. I mentioned last week, God has given you unique spiritual gifts, unique to you. Unique to you. And there's a lot of people that don't know what their spiritual gifts are. So how can you use them? And I'm going to show you, and I'll give you the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom that God has said, I know what some most of your spiritual gifts are already. You know why? Because God told me. This is not woo-woo, this is scripture, folks. I'm also going to be looking at, how many people would like to know what their spiritual gifts are? It's wonderful. You know, as I mentioned, once you know what your spiritual gifts are, then you know what your spiritual gifts are not. And it's wonderful to be able to say, wow, you look at somebody like Lupe or whatever, oh, she's testifying and whatever it might be, and that's not who I am. You're an intercessor. Or you're a this or that. So we don't compare ourselves with anyone. Because you may have not been given the same gift that someone else had. Pastor, if I could just preach like you, you don't have the gift of preaching because you're not called at this particular time in your life to preach from a pulpit, right? So you can say, oh, Pastor, you're so cool. You're so good. Oh, go ahead. I like it. But I also know who gave me the gift and who gave you the gift. And you can't boast on something that you received, right? And pride comes before what? A fall. Learned that long, long time ago. Don't want any thank. I'll say thank you, but I'm nothing more than a ricochet. To God be the glory. But thank you, Lord, for using me, because it makes me feel good. Also, how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and you have the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in you. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, miracles, faith, healing, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. All of those, you and discerning of spirits, by the way. Those are inside of your spirit right now. And what we're going to teach is how to pop the top. Where you're walking through life and saying, Lord, I need a decision here. Give me a word of knowledge. Or I need to have a remedy of this. Give me a word of wisdom, Lord. Or I'm praying for some, Lord, download the gift of faith so I can believe you for the answers as I pray for this person. Those are in you right now because you have the Holy Spirit. Are you happy for that? Then smile at me, okay? You look better when you smile. But I want you to anticipate it. Also, how to defeat the enemy in the end times. I mentioned it last week, I mentioned it again. One of the greatest gifts that we have to understand is how to defeat the powers of the enemy. And you have to be able to discern what is the enemy before you can defeat him. That's why we say with a confidence, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Or we can say with the greatest confidence, Lord, thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Thank you that you've given me authority over the powers of the enemy. And remember when I say it's all spiritual. Every manifestation on earth has a spiritual background or emphasis or motivation. Everything. It's either motivated by, how many spirits are there in the world?
Two.
How many? That's close. Three. There are three spirits. Now, there are millions of spirits. This is not a, you're going to say, oh, well, I knew that. I just didn't say it. Nah. There are three spirits in the world. God,
the
devil,
yeah.
And man.
Ooh. Close.
Close. Two is close to three. We are the one that determines where the spiritual atmosphere on earth is allowed to be released. You are the one that makes the choice, in this case, because God has given you free will to choose either the devil or God. And as I said, there's going to be no in-between in 2017. What we used to call the gray areas, where a little God and a little devil. Yeah, sort of right there, I'll take a little bit of God and a little bit of devil, and I'll live in the gray areas. It's not going to be any more of that. How many of you know living with God is a whole lot more better? Right? What's going to happen, it's going to become blatantly obvious that there is no gray area. It's either this or that. Choose today who you're going to serve. And old Bob Dylan got it right. Right? Either you're going to serve somebody. Choose today who you will serve. How to defeat the powers of the enemy. Also, how to pray and release the miraculous through your lives and your sphere of influence. I'm going to underline that fact. You have input into those, your sphere of influence. There is a dynamic that God has placed within you to be able to minister to your sphere of influence. Family members, friends, those people that are around your life. There's an anointing that God has given to you to be able to minister the word of God. I'm going to show that to you in just a moment while it is still a moment. John, did I hit this too fast? Yeah, no, I'm right. The Lord said, now here we, the Lord said for 2017, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Matthew 21, 22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Habakkuk says, write it down so that all can see and will be remembered in all the times of life. Last week, we passed out our cards. If you have not received a card, hold your hand up. Go ahead and pass it. Just one card. Very, very, very important. Over there. Don't hold it. Don't get too tired. Just, oh, but he'll see you. And there are a lot of other people that are not with us today, too. So these are very, very important cards. And I don't want you to lose it. And I don't want you to give it away. These are extremely, extremely important. If you don't have a target, if you don't shoot at a target, you're not going to hit anything. But one of the important things is that when you write things down, you can, when God begins to release them, then you've got it, and he wants to show you that he wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. So in 2017, write down the five areas that you are requesting from the Lord. And this is not a casual thing. Well, I want to have a house. I want to have a Jaguar or a Porsche or a Prius or whatever. It's my Prius joke. No, it's not. It's a nice car. It's okay. It's okay to have fun in church, right? Take those five things. Pray about, Lord, this is what I'm asking you for in 2017. And then the other side, it's the my areas of ministry, my personal goals for ministry. And we filled in one for you. Pray about it. Don't lose it. Pastor, I lost my card. Well, I'm sorry. I will say I'm sorry. I'll give you another one, but I'll do it with a frown. Or something on my face, but still with love. I don't want these to be treated lightly. After you fill them out, what I want you to do is bring them to me, and I'm going to seal them with the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray over them, and what you will find out is that card will smell the fragrance of myrrh, of olive, cinnamon. So you won't even have to be reminded where it's at. Put it in your Bible, put it someplace, pray for this thing and watch what we have testimonies throughout the years, how important this is. God, what am I believing you? Help me, Father. This is what I'm believing you for this year. Family, deeper relationship with the Lord, getting married. I want to get married this year.
Amen.
It's all right. That's Pentecostal. She can do that. And then one of my areas of ministry, fill them out, pray, and then I'll anoint them with oil, which is a seal of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll watch what God does. And you'll come back, and whenever it might be, come back and say, Lord, just answered this prayer. Don't you know that he wants to give you the desires of your heart? Don't you know that he wants you to know how much he loves you? Don't you know that he wants us to write it down so that we recognize and ask him so that when it happens, we know it's from him and it's not just a coinkydink? Right? Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. We're closing. Let me share this with you. Jesus had a mandate. He was sent down from heaven to accomplish something. Let me share with you what Jesus' mandate was, what the goal of his life was. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit, this is Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach. Amen. Babies know when to speak, say the amen. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was his mandate. He came down from earth and he said, this is what Isaiah prophesied 750 years prior. He says, the Messiah is coming and he will do, and Jesus quoted this verse. And said what else he said. John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you. And he's talking to you. But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Fruit. That's what we're supposed to be producing. I told you about my tomatoes. I plant this green thing, and if I take care of it, it produces tomatoes. That's the fruit. I don't want just a green thing. Oh, trip over that. I don't want just a green vine. I don't need a green vine. What I want is tomatoes. Jesus says, and the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. When we are producing fruit, if the goal of our life is to produce fruit, Jesus said, then you can ask whatever you want and it will be given to you by my Father. If your goal is to build your own kingdom or to play with hell sometimes and heaven with other times, you're not going to produce fruit. Or it'll produce a little thing and it'll fall off. If you're about producing fruit, desiring to produce fruit, God says, I'm backing you up. Producing fruit, the tomato plant doesn't get off on the tomatoes. The tomato plant basically has little to do with the tomatoes other than to produce it. If you leave a fruit on the vine too long, what happens to it? It shrivels up and dies. I come along, and because I like tomatoes, I pick the tomato, and I said, good plant. Good. I will water you, and I will feed you fertilizer if you produce more fruit. Jesus says to us, if your goal is to produce fruit, I will. You can ask anything you want. Then he also says, by the way, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Isn't that wonderful to know that you have been chosen by God, handpicked? He said, oh, I want that one and this one. You think that the Holy Spirit wasn't wooing you and drawing you into a relationship with Jesus and you didn't even know it? Then finally you made a decision. No one comes to the kingdom without the Holy Spirit drawing them. God said, I chose you. Turn to somebody and say, you must be important. John 14, 12 through 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If your purpose is to bear fruit, Jesus says, you'll do greater things than I have done. Isn't that wonderful? If Jesus' mandate was this, Luke chapter 4, if these things were Jesus' mandate, and then Jesus comes along and says, you're going to do greater things than I did. Let me show you what our mandate is. How many people want to know what our mandate is in 2017? Well, here we go. Our mandate, you are appointed. You have been empowered to proclaim the good news. There is an anointing on your life. And we're going to have an anointing service coming up. But you are anointed now to be able to proclaim the good news about Jesus, about salvation, about what it means to live a life of victory. I have come that you may have life. Let me share you what the life like was. This perfect testimony of Lupe, and I'm ready for you. You have a testimony, come see me. If there's something you want to share to the congregation, come see me. And I've told you before that when you share something that God's done, we get to receive a great that revelation also. I have come that you may have life. What's different about you? I have life. You have been anointed by God. You are to release those who are in bondage. You have the drugs, alcohol, pornography, financial debt, and whatever. Those are all manifestations of the enemy, people making incorrect choices. We have the authority to do what Jesus did and literally to release those in bondage. I prayed for many alcoholics. Some of them went through the 12-step program. Others were healed instantaneously. I've dealt with many men and women who were addicted to pornography. That's a stronger spirit than you think. Or on drugs. And literally spoken the word of the Lord to them. Convinced them to receive it. Because you can pray for someone that's not going to be able to receive, and God will give you wisdom. I've had people come and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, no. In a nice way. Because I know what will happen. If I pray for them and they chose not to, then they have to get a lot harder to reject the prayer, my prayer. You hear what I'm saying? They have to resist more than they have right now before I pray for them. We pray for everybody generally, but then we get the kairos time, the anointing time. pray for that, and the Spirit of God is released. And that's more than the Logos. How many know what I'm talking about? You pray the Logos, and then the Holy Spirit comes and says, now I want, here's the Rhema. Logos means general word. Rhema means the specific word. Also, to restore sight to the blind physically. There are many people that are physically blind. I've had the privilege of praying for people that are physically blind and they were healed. Many. Hearing too. But there are people that are walking in deception. The Bible says that the people outside of the world are deceived. There's a scale over their eyes and their ears, and they can't see. They can't hear. And what you're doing is foolishness to those that are not saved. We have the ability to be able to open up spiritual eyes, not just this religious kind of thing. I'm talking about, and here I added this thing. There are many Christians who were involved in spiritual churches, situations where they got hurt and they rejected. They don't have anything more to do with it. And we have the opportunity to say that this, to remove those that deception from their eyes, that it's not, we're not talking about that. We're not talking a bunch of rules and regulations. We're talking about a place, understanding of that relationship with Jesus that is alive, that is applicable for us today. Also, that we are to release the oppressed. Depression, discouragement, fear, all those things are manifest today. What the enemy has sown in this country and around the world is a great depression and discouragement and a hopelessness. We as Christians don't live that way because we have hope. We are not depressed, even though we're challenged sometimes to be depressed. And the reason why you're depressed is you've gotten your eyes off of the Lord. Right? If it doesn't make you feel good, it's not from God. Amen. Now, I'm not saying if it feels good, do it. God brings peace, joy, happiness, kindness, all of those. And when you're not experiencing that, what's happened? You've moved off dead center. We have the ability to be able to minister that. Depression, as I said, today, just it's everywhere. Don't you find that to be the truth? Absolutely. People are discouraged. They have no hope because everything that they put their hope in has failed them. You know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. Because God doesn't want anybody putting in hope other than Him. The enemy loves to build some kind of a shrine, have people jump in on the shrine to the boat and then pull the rug out from underneath them. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, will never do that. And the Lord will back you up. Also, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is one of the greatest gifts that you have. The overwhelming love of God and His desire for relationship with those people that you come across. You start talking about relationship. That's why we say it's not religion, it's relationship. When you start telling people that they can have a relationship with God, that He calls you His son or daughter, that you have the given permission to call Him Daddy. And the Word says He's closer than a brother. He'll never leave you or forsake you. When you tell someone, I was ministering about six months ago to a homeless girl. She was about 25 years old, ran away, lost her job, got into prostitution and drugs. And she said, one of the most incredible things that I have to deal with is loneliness. Loneliness. And what I've done in my life in these last years, I've ruined myself. And no one loves. No one can love me. I'm unlovable. And I had the opportunity, and I watched God peel that garbage off of this young lady to the point where she literally began to beam. And you know what I'm talking about? The love of God for her. And when the Holy Spirit began to use what I was saying, anointed that, touched her to a place where it was just like, well, born again. She came alive. She began she's supposed to get back to me, but I left her as much as I, God says, you're done here. I don't know if I ever see her again, but I know she's got some tools now. Literally just smile on her face like she had been like a flower just opened. When you share the year of the Lord's favor with people, the love of God for them, you watch. You may have to outtalk them in terms of, no, I'm not, I can't be, God doesn't. That's when you ask for the anointing. Lord, give me the anointing to break that spirit that has caused a spirit of rejection. That's our mandate. Let me read this verse for you. John 10:10. Listen to this. I found this version. It's a paraphrase, but listen. I have come to bring you life, and that life, a life of victory, so that you may be my instruments to bring my message to the world. I'm going to read that again. I have come to bring you life, and that life, a life of victory, so that you may be my instruments to bring my message to the world. Go ahead. April. I have come so that you may have life, so that you can take what I have given to you and you can give that life to others. And let me tell you something. The world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away from you. I want to see this prophetic word come to truth. It is a time for the breakthrough to victory. There will be a significant increase in miracles and signs and wonders. The anointing will be so strong that it will break significant and long-standing strongholds that have been plagued people's lives. For the Lord says, my people are entering into an overwhelming season that will produce great breakthroughs. For the enemy has come in like a flood, but I, the Lord, am releasing great victories. I will stem the tide of violence. I will bring peace to the land. I will bring an awakening. I will release revival. Many workings of miracles that are creative in nature will be seen in hundreds of churches across this world. I want churches, you're a church. Hundreds of churches across the world. The greatest harvest of souls the earth has known is upon us. How many know that's a good word? How many ready to receive that word? Stand with me. Let's just agree that 2017 is the year of your breakthrough in every area. Father, I thank you right now that your Holy Spirit backs up the word. And everyone that is confused or anyone that's trying to contend or reject this message today, I bind in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I speak against the thief who would come to rob, to kill, and destroy. In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of discouragement and spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. Father, I say, cause our spirit man to stand up. Cause there to be a stirring in our hearts to believe. Give us the release even now, the spirit of faith. And Father, I thank you right now. We agree together. Two agree touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is heaven. And we claim, Father, that word to be truth and will bear fruit in our lives. And we lay hold of it, Lord, by faith, believing you are who you say you are. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Ladies. Great are you, Lord. Take your neighbor's hand. Lord, I pray for my brother and my sister. Pray and you shall receive, the word says. Give and you shall receive. Lord, I give the hope, the faith, and I agree with my brother and my sister to add with their faith and hope that enables us to walk in the victory this next week. That the prophetic word that has been spoken will go deep into our spirit, man. And the upcoming Thank you, Father, for health, for protection, for healing, for your presence, for your power, for your wisdom. We agree together, Lord, and those listening online. Thank you for the word that was spoken even today will be watered in their life. We claim that together in Jesus' name. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we started with our hands extended to you. And we reach up and we touch the hem of your garment that says, God, your word is spoken. And it's to stir our spirit man to believe you for even greater things. To come to that place of recognizing, Lord, that you will withhold no good thing to those who called according to your purpose. And I release that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we agree that, Father. We agree together and we claim it by faith in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, somebody, give somebody a hug. Have a fantastic week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.